Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Father's Day. What a beautiful Father's Day it is. And I want to say a special shout out to our Heavenly Father. Amen. In activities, we can always, we can get wrapped up in things and excited, and we can forget to give thanks where thanks is due. But, you know, none of us would be here without Him. So praise the Lord. You know, as I was praying there, it dawned on me to remind us that, when we got some new people here today and stuff, and I just want to share with you, a little bit about God, and maybe some people that have even been here for a while. You know, God wants us to receive from Him. And the thing is you can't receive from something that doesn't, that isn't real, that isn't active. Amen? The Bible has a lot to say about what we receive from God. In fact, the whole Bible is about us receiving from the Lord. It's about His people receiving from Him. If God doesn't interact with us, then we can't receive something from Him. Because you can't receive something from me unless you interact with me. Amen. If you just have your life over here and you never see me or you never hear from me, I can't put anything into your life. Amen. I can't help you with anything. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? A car will not run if it doesn't receive the gasoline. It just won't do it. It doesn't matter how nice of a car it is. You can have the most expensive car in the world. But unless you put the fuel in it, unless it receives that thing that it needs to run, it isn't going to run. Well, the same thing with us. You know, there's so many people that they talk about God and they're believers. You know, we can be raised. It doesn't matter what denomination you're from or what kind of background you came from, because it's not about that stuff that matters. It's about following the Lord, the God of the Bible. Amen? And He has so many great and precious promises for us. And yet so many people, they struggle and they resist the plan of God. They struggle and resist the teaching because it's not what they're used to. But how many know it doesn't matter what we're used to? It doesn't matter what everybody has always done, or what everybody's always done for the last 50 years or the last 100. Because, you know, every I don't know how many years it is, but every few years, things completely change over. You know, so even, you know, if you were raised Baptist, praise the Lord, the Baptists today are different than they were 50 years ago, and they're different than they were 100 years ago, and those ones were different than they were 200 years. You know what I'm saying? Like things like that change, but the Word of God doesn't change. And I'm not talking bad about the Baptists. I love the Baptists, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I love Methodists, too. I love all God's people, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. But you know, it's not so much tradition that's important, but it's the Word of God. It's, do we stand on the Word of God? Do we really understand what's taught here? Amen? Well, praise the Lord. And that's what we endeavor to do. So I'm glad you're with us today. God's got blessing for you today, and I believe you're going to receive it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's get into the message. Glory to God. Today's message is called Allow the Change. Amen? Allow the change. And we're going to start in Hebrews 6, 1. So you can go ahead and flip over there. Hebrews 6, 1. Hallelujah. And today we're going to be talking about allowing God to do what He wants to do. Amen? When you have a leader of something, it's always beneficial. If you take like a military, they have different ranks and leadership and stuff like that. And how many know that it's beneficial for the whole group or the whole lot that are depending on this group? It's beneficial for them if they follow the leader. Amen. If they do what the leader, coming right down through the ranks, you know, I'm talking generally. No, we're not going to get political and talk about this. But, you know, generally speaking, the reason that it's set up is for protection and all this stuff and good things. Amen. And so there's a leadership structure that's important. You know, and God is very, very, very much into structure. The Bible is all about God's structure. It tells us all about how God structured things to work and how He intended things to work and how things can't work unless they work according to the structure and the processes that God set up. Amen? Praise the Lord. We love to use the example of seed. You can have a bag full of seed, but unless you do something with that seed, it's never going to do anything. Even though there's great potential in a seed, and I think it's amazing. You know, you can have you can go out in some times of the year, I forget when it is, fall, yeah, the fall, I think, and find acorns on the ground, right? Acorns on the fall. And you can find acorns on the ground, you got that little seed, and that little seed will produce such a huge oak tree, amen? I like even more, I like thinking about the redwoods or the sequoias in California. I've seen them. It's just an amazing sight. But to know that even their pine cones, I mean, you would think, you go to the sequoias and you think, man, their pine cones have probably got to be huge, right? But they're some of the smallest pine cones. I mean, I collected some. They're just tiny. But the pine cones is just the pod that carries the seed. The seed that's on the inside of them is so much smaller. And you think about that little tiny seed and how it will produce such an enormous tree. It's amazing, isn't it? But unless that seed gets planted in the right soil, unless that it's allowed to grow and it gets just the things that it's supposed to do, it's never going to produce what it was intended to produce. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, God wants us to produce. We talked about this last night, but God's intent for us is to produce a harvest. He did not create people to not produce. In fact, I even said last night that if you are a Christian that doesn't produce, you are what is called a worthless Christian. And I don't mean that from the standpoint of like trying to knock you down and saying that your life is no good and that you should just give up hope. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying become worth something. Amen. We need to be, because the Bible tells us very clear in John 15, it's very clear. Jesus told us very clearly that if you are a Christian that does not produce fruit, you get cut off and you get thrown into the fire. That's what he said. If you're a Christian that doesn't produce fruit. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Because he was talking about the branches. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You have to remain, you have to abide in him in order to bear much fruit. And he said, those that don't get caught off and thrown into the fire, amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's the truth of the word. And so we understand that. But God wants us to produce. But see, one of the major things that God wants to produce in us is change. God wants his people, he wants people to change. He doesn't want you to stay where you were at. If you come into church, it doesn't matter if you lived a great life. Listen, if you haven't lived a godly life, you still haven't lived that great of a life. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how many charities you've given to. I don't care how many people you've helped out. I don't care how many little old ladies you've walked across the street. You can do a lot of that stuff, and that stuff is fine and good, and please do that. If you see a little old lady that needs help across the street, then help her, by God. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't determine your worth, amen? What determines your worth is what God wants to do on the inside of you. He gives us a scripture like Jeremiah 29:11 to tell us that he has plan for us. But that plan must be followed if we're going to see the result that he has for us. Amen? And so the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen in him. It means that all the promises of God we can be sure of if we follow Jesus. If we follow the plan that is spelled out before us. Amen? Did you find Hebrews 6:1? Praise the Lord. And what does it say here? It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. So these are the basic principles. This is elementary school. Amen. Praise the Lord. You came to church today as adults, but you entered elementary school. Hallelujah. The elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hallelujah. And we're going to stop here. Repentance from dead works. This is what the focus is on, and this is what we're talking about in change. You know, as I sought the Lord this week for this weekend, this is a message I just really believed would help us, was going to take us somewhere, amen? And so as you hook up to it, believe God that you're going to hear what you need to hear to enact the change that you need to enact, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Repentance from dead works. This is something that's kind of lost in the body of Christ today, this concept of that you repent. That you can still, even though you're a Christian, you can still do things that are wrong. And so it's important to repent. But we're not just talking about that. We're talking about coming in, becoming a Christian, and moving into that place that God wants us to get into. Let the change happen. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you come into church and a year later, you look just the same as you did when you came in, something's wrong and it's not on God's end. We should always be progressing into a new us, hallelujah. Because God, the Bible says, God takes us from glory to glory. He's taking us from one place to another place. God is always an increasing, a multiplying God, amen? I'm not going to preach last night's sermon, but we know in Genesis 1:28 that God told us that he blessed people when he created them. The first thing he did was bless them. I said the first thing he did was bless them. Hallelujah. So he blessed us. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. To produce and increase. That's what he wanted. He wanted us to go out on the earth and fill it. Hallelujah. Now, how many know if God gives you a direction to fill something, he isn't going to make it impossible for you to do it? And if you got to fill the earth, if you get a directive, we talked about how it's not just about kids, but honestly, even if it was about kids, doesn't it take money? Doesn't it take houses? Doesn't it take, I mean, if you got 15 kids, you need a house that can support 15 kids, amen? If you got 15 kids, you need a vehicle that can drive 15 kids around, amen? Glory to God. And you need to put food in 15 kids' mouths. Hallelujah. There's a lot to that. So God has given us the direction. And he said all of these things are connected and all of it is for you. But it all hinges around faith in God, faith toward God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But this is the thing that people do. They come in to church and we all do this. So I include us and I include me today. I include me at this point in my life. That there are still things that I learned from my life, my experience, that as I was living throughout life, there's things that got ingrained in me and just so into me that every once in a while they still come out. But God wants those things to change. He needs those things to change if you're going to be fruitful, fully fruitful. Now, it's not a process that happens overnight. So I'm just gonna help you out right there. I ain't saying, hey, you got to change tonight. And if you're not changed by tomorrow, God don't love you. Because that's not the truth either. But we need to be progressing toward change. We need to be walking in change. We need to always be endeavoring to change. One thing I have done right in my life is I got tired of being bit by the devil. So I finally said, God, when you work in me, when you want to work change in me, I'm going to work along with that. I consecrate myself to you. I know I'm not going to be perfect, and I don't have to be, and I'm not going to dwell on that. See, a lot of Christians like to dwell on how they're not perfect. No, I want to dwell on how perfect Jesus was and is, because when I dwell on how perfect Jesus is, then I can start getting to that place. But see, what the world teaches us is to focus on, we focus inwardly, we focus on ourselves, we focus on everything that's going on around us, we focus on our past hurts and how, maybe daddy spanked me too much or mama didn't love me enough or something like that. And I'm not making light of that stuff. Hey, I haven't gone through a mama hasn't loved me, but I know that there's people that have, and I don't make light of that. But what I'm saying is those aren't the things that are to direct us and carry us through life. And what people do is they always tend to go back to those things. They return to Egypt, hallelujah. They go back to that land of Egypt, and they get wrapped up in all those things, and they never produce change. They always have an excuse of why they can't, instead of just saying, you know what, I'm just going to do it. See, when we have that mindset shift where we can go from being people that are always wrapped up in trial and trouble, and just look at Jesus and say, you know what, I'm just going to do it because I know I can. Because he did. He said I could. I'm just going to believe him. You don't need to know how it's all going to happen. You don't need to know how it's all going to come about. You just follow the Lord and he'll take you there. But we have to be people that are willing to change. Amen? The word repentance literally means to change your mind. We look at repentance. A lot of people think repentance is just getting on your knees and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I sinned. But that's not what it is. Because getting on your knees and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I've sinned, he doesn't even care about that. You understand that? God doesn't care about that. You hear some crickets in here. Praise the Lord. What do you mean God doesn't care about that? God isn't looking for your sorry. He does not care about sorry. Listen, if you were an abused person, if somebody ever abused you, or if you've ever seen somebody's abuse, who has been abused, does the abuser coming to the abused saying I'm sorry make them feel better about it? No. It doesn't mean anything. Why? Because it's not backed up with anything. I'm not saying people can't change and people can't get help. They always can. People can. But what I'm saying is that, you know, when you do something wrong, just saying I'm sorry means nothing. But people have made repentance something that you just go before God. If you just get down, some religions, if you just confess, come confess, you confess all these sins and you just say what you did, and that's just what you do, and then you just go on living the way you lived. But that's not change. That's not repentance. I'm sorry, that's not repentance. It's not biblical repentance. Repentance means to change. You go, wait a minute, this is wrong. I got to stop doing this. And sometimes we struggle with things, and sometimes you'll have to repent many times. But the idea is that you're not just okay with saying, you know what, I'm just going to repent. I'm just going to say I'm sorry, and then I'm just going to go on doing my own life anyway. See, God has initiated change in us. Jesus was a way for us to change. He was a catalyst for us to be able to change. And unless we embrace that, unless we go into that, we can't. But see, what people do is they'll often, and I preach about this, but this is where we're at. This is something we need to hear and hear again, because we all deal with these things. Because we come in and we still hold on to everything that was back here, instead of reaching forward to God. And I'm not just talking about past hurts. I'm talking about things you desire, things you like. Amen. When you're holding on to something that you know scripturally is wrong, but you're like, this is mine. You're not repentant. Hallelujah. And people who aren't repentant can't be forgiven. They can't be, and if people who can't be forgiven can't walk in God's blessing. You understand? You know, John the Baptist, when he came before Jesus, he said, repent. Repent. He told people to repent. You need to repent. You need to change. You need to come to the Lord, and you need to realize, listen, it's not messing around. We need to take church seriously. Church isn't something that we just like, oh, well, it's there, it's not. No, or I can go here or not. No, we need to take it seriously. We need to be like, wait, God has something for us to accomplish here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Repentance. He wants us to change. Amen? He wants us to change. Our minds and how we do things, how we go about things. Amen. He wants us to look at life through a new set of goggles. Hallelujah. He wants us to look at it the way he wants us to look at it. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Praise the Lord. God is good. He wants change, and we'll be people of change. Because I'm going to tell you something. People who can change. I'm not talking about people be wishy-washy. You change every week. Change every day. You know, you don't want to change your mind like you change your clothes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But people that can change are people that will change the world. People that will allow change to work in them are people that will go out and they will change the world. They will change the course of humanity. I am a great example, and I don't say this in pride. I say this not in pride of my own accord, but pride in what the Lord has done. But I am a person who's changed. I'm a person who the Lord worked in to change. And as he did, great things happened. Amen? My life turned around. Things happened in me that couldn't be explained. And they're there for everybody. I'm not special in any. In fact, if there's anything that I'm not, it's special. Amen? If there's anything that I ever wasn't, was something that was desired, or somebody that was in of myself was worth anything. You know, of course, you have family that loves you. And don't you agree with that? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, you have family. My mom always thought I was pretty special. I don't know why, but she did. She loved me, you know. She loved me like mamas do. Hallelujah. But you know, I was never special myself. There was never, you know, I had things about me that, sure, I loved and some talent, different talents and different things, but none of it really made me all that special. In fact, a lot of things I did kind of rubbed people the wrong way. A lot of things I did were kind of backwards. A lot of things I did ended up in misery for me and sometimes other people. You know, but God decided that he was going to use me for something different. And because I allowed the change to work in me, he was able to use me for something different. And now he uses me, and I get excited for that. And listen, that again, that's not pride, because God should be using all of us. It shouldn't be, I mean, we should all have a testimony of God uses me. We should all be able to say boldly and with great assurance, God uses me. I know he does, because I see the change in other people's lives. And see, that's exactly what church is for. That's what pastors are for, are to help people find that ability to be changed, to live a way that they didn't before. Amen? Now, people always have the choice whether or not they hook up to it, you know, so there is that. But people that will be connected, there will always be change when the word of God is preached, because that's what it's intended to do. Amen? Matthew 6:25, praise the Lord. We'll read through verse 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? This is a very, very important scripture, because this right here is primarily where probably 90%, maybe even more than, I don't know, an incredibly high number of people are all focused right here in the entire world. I don't care if you're Christian or not. I don't care what religion you have. Everybody is focused on this. Everybody, and you look at everything in today's world is based around this. What people struggle with, it always comes back down to this. People are worried about what they're going to do. They're worried about how they're going to do it. They're worried about how they're going to live. But what is God? What did Jesus say? He said, "Is not let me see. Where was that here?" He said, "Yeah, what's that? Yeah, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" There's something more to us than just these things we always struggle with. Do you understand? There's something more to us than these things that we always deal with. Living isn't just, it's not just being able to go to the store and buy groceries. It's not just being able to buy a new car or to put on nice clothes. That's not living. Living is the interactions that you have with people. Living is when you get a relationship with the Heavenly Father and you realize His blessing in your life. And when I say you realize His blessing in your life, I'm talking that you start to understand it because you start to experience it. That it becomes real to you. That it's not something that, you know, it's not something that you that is just a metaphor or something that people talk about. But the blessing of God is real and active in your life. Amen. This is what life is really about. Living a life that is devoted to God, that is in His plan, and that is experiencing His love. Hallelujah. You know, I've been using this example a lot lately, but my son Mark has been moving into some things, and very rapidly, some wonderful things. Things he's been believing for are changing in his life. And you know something? You can see in his face, like, even though he's been taught this stuff, even though he's been taught faith, and if you just hang on, you'll get there, and you'll see the abundance, you'll see the things come to pass in your life, the desires of your heart. They will be there. And we just encourage them and keep pressing through. Stay faithful. Stay with the Word. Stay in church. Do not do what everybody else does, but stay focused on God. And you watch and see what's going to happen in your life. And now he's starting to see it. And the doors are starting to open. The floodgates are open. And he's like, "Dear Jesus, I didn't know it could be this happy. Hallelujah. I didn't know it could feel this good." Because it does feel good. See, God wants us to feel good. He wants us full. God is not okay with us being broke down and defeated. Jesus died to lift us up. Jesus died to bring us into some things. Hallelujah. But see, when the blessing of God gets turned on, you're going to start saying, "Turn it off." You know, cup running over means something. It means something. When he says, my cup runneth over, it means something. It means, oh no, what do you do when you got the pot on the stove and the pot starts boiling? And all of a sudden, everybody has the same reaction. I've seen it for years. I don't care. My mom is a great cook, but I remember growing up and the pot boiling, and everybody has the same reaction. Oh no, the pot's running over, and they go over there and they're doing things like they're trying to figure it out. But see, what do you think happens when God starts running your pot over? That's exactly, you start, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. And this is why we prepare. This is why we change. But see, this is why we start preparing that change on the inside of us. We allow God to do what He wants to do, because those little things that He works out in us week in and week out, those little things that He teaches us that take us to that next level, they're preparing us to receive what He has for us. That change that's so hard for you is working something great in you. It's expanding your pot. It's expanding your ability to receive the runover. Amen. You know, a lot of people, it's amazing, but a lot of people, the runover, people don't worry about the runover. I mean, they stop the runover, but they don't worry about all the stuff that's in there. I've never seen my mom or my wife, if they've had a pot that's running over, I've never seen them scooping up the runover and putting it back in. They take a rag and they wipe it up and they throw it away. See, God wants it. So He wants us so blessed that blessing, everybody's looking for blessing, right? Anybody not looking for blessing? No? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love blessing. I said, I love blessing. Hallelujah. God made me to love blessing. Hallelujah. He made you to love blessing too. I love being blessed. Hallelujah. That's why I love my birthday so much. It's the only time I can get anybody to bless me. And Father's Day, right? Nah, I'm just kidding. But you know, but you got to train them right. You know what I'm saying? You got to train. Yeah, you got to train people. Hey, listen. It was, but you know something? My birthday would not be a 3-day celebration unless I made it so. And if your birthday is not a 3-day celebration, that's your fault. You're not pushing it enough. Hallelujah. But blessing Blessing is something that's awesome to receive, isn't it? Isn't blessing, I mean, blessing is just what it is. It's blessing. When we hear the word blessing, even the word blessing makes you happy, doesn't it? You just say blessing and it kind of makes you smile. You can't say blessing frowning. Blessing. You know, you can't do that. You want to, when you say blessing, you think of good things and joy. The blessing of the Lord runs over. The runover gets thrown away. That means that there's so much blessing that some of the blessing just has to get thrown out. Amen? Some of the blessing just gets thrown out. So many Christians, now hear me out, so many Christians live their life in such a way that there's so little blessing that they wouldn't dare throw any out. They're going to keep every bit they have because God knows when I'll get more blessing. And you know what I'm saying? But God wants it to flow. He wants it. God wants blessing flowing out of us in such a way that people just get sapped up in the blessing. Sopped up in the blessing is what I wanted to say. What I mean? Hallelujah. The Fredonia fire, I went through the building the day after the fire when the church burnt, you know. And they had dumped thousands of gallons on that clock tower of water. Amen? And most people don't think, I know I never thought about it. But there was marks on the walls from when the ceiling finally gave in. There was marks on the walls for where the rivers of water that were in that building went up against the walls and stuff, came down like just a river through the business. Amazing. But the reason I say this is because when I was in there, everything was sopped. Everything was wet. Everything was, you know, anything that if there was dirt, if there was char, anything. It was just mushy and it was everywhere. You couldn't get in there and not get it on you. That's what blessing needs to be in our life. That's the way a Christian needs to be living. Because the world is going to get won by the religious Jesus that doesn't really exist, but the religious Jesus that takes away from everybody. The religious Jesus that's always trying to stop people every time they want the blessing. Listen, God, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this, and this may not be something I normally say this way, but you deserve blessing. I said you deserve blessing, and I'm going to tell you why you deserve blessing. And it isn't because you're so awesome, but because you got a dad that loves you so much. You know, it doesn't matter what you've gone without in life. You got a heavenly Father who's just waiting to bring it to you. I realize this because, you know, there was times in my life where I was looking for things that I didn't have because for whatever reason, it couldn't be there. But I had a heavenly Father who was just waiting for me. He was just waiting to get it to me. He was saying, listen, I want, and all the answers are right here. It's all right here. But he has to do it through change. He has to do it through us deciding that, yes, this is what I want. And I listen, there's a difference between mentally assenting to the truth and receiving the truth. Mentally assenting, there's people that mentally assent. What I mean by that is there's Christians or people that will say, yes, I can see Jesus is salvation. I can see that he is the way. But I will only recognize it in that way. I'm not actually going to ever receive it. I've seen this a lot. I've seen Christians or people who call themselves Christians that were never really Christians in the begin with. Just because you prayed a prayer doesn't make you a Christian. You know, we pray a prayer at the end of every service, and we do so hoping that somebody will move on that and they will receive what God has for them, that blessedness. Hallelujah. But you know, not everybody even everybody who prays that didn't receive it. Because not everybody meant it. Some people just mentally assented. They said, yeah, I can see that that's truth and I want that, but it's not enough in me to change. A true person, now listen, there's a difference between being taught and untaught, but here you're taught. A true Christian is one who changes. They're one who, there should be noticeable differences in your lives. If your family that's not saved is not wigged out by your change, you got to ask yourself, have I changed? Because I'm going to tell you something. When God comes on you, it wigs people out. It wigs people out, but at the same time, they're like, there's something about that. And if you'll stay right with it, over a course of time, we've seen that happen. We see family members that absolutely abhorred the fact that we were church people. And now they're kind of like, they're watching it saying, look at what's happening. Yeah, watching online too. Praise the Lord. They're being sopped up in the blessing. They can't help but notice it. Hallelujah. See, this is what God wants to do in us. All that out of one scripture. Hallelujah. Because Jesus wants to take care of us. And then he tells us, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. They don't do anything for any. They don't work for it. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I watch birds. I love watching birds. What do? They play. Birds are always playing. God's given this great thing of flight, and they know it's a blessing of the Lord. And you can tell by the way they fly. Because if you were just going to fly, this is why evolution is stupid. But because evolution would say that it wouldn't make sense that a bird plays while it flies from point A to point B. You know what I'm saying? And it just, like, if you just think about, if it's just a thing to get us from point A to B, the bird wouldn't, it would just do that. But birds don't do that, do they? What do? They do the same thing that any creature that could fly would do. They do all kinds of things, amen? They chase each other, they fly, they go up, they go down. They make their own roller coasters, hallelujah. I'm sure, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm sure some of these loop-de-loop roller coasters have been designed probably by people who have observed birds and said, that looks fun, and I can't do that, but we're going to figure out a way to do that. Amen? See, God, you understand, but the Bible tells us to look at the birds. Look at the birds for a reason. When God says look at something, that means we need to look at it. Because when you look at a bird, what you don't see, generally speaking, praise God. I saw a bird on the way. I thought I might use this. I saw two birds, and you've probably all seen them. I saw two birds on the way to church this morning. One bird was a really big bird, and it was being chased by a really little bird. Have you ever seen that? You know, because the big bird was probably messing with the nest or something like that, and the little bird was like, not today, motor scooter, right? They're saying, you ain't messing with my nest. You ain't messing with my little birdies. And so he's chasing them around, you know, and that big bird is flying away. He's like, you know what I'm saying? This should be, as Christians, we look at the problems of life. We look at the things that come against us. We look at them as these big, big birds. I'm not talking about big yellow bird. I'm talking about big birds, hallelujah. We big, big, nasty with talons and claws and beaks. They want to try to tear you apart and rip you up, you know what I'm saying? Big. Praise the Lord. So we look at it as these big trials and stuff, and yet we hide and we cower from it. Jesus said, look at the birds. I'm just going to tell you right now, the little birds don't cower. They don't cower because they know they got something in them. You know why I believe all this stuff? You know why I think birds are so expressive? I believe that it's because our Heavenly Father designed them to be that way, to show us something, because He said, look at them. Praise the Lord. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Of course, this is one part of it. It was worry, and a lot of reasons that people do things is out of worry. I'm going to work extra jobs that take me away from my family too much because I worry. Because I'm worried about not being able to pay the bills or whatever. I'm going to do this or that. I'm not going to relax. You know, all this stuff. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So do not worry about the clothes. What was I? 28. Yeah. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes... Praise the Lord, I want to see where I'm going. And now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. It says all these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are not the people of God. Before you were born again, if you are born again, before you were born again, you were a Gentile, is essentially what you are. What he's saying is that the world is seeking all these things. The world is after all these things because they don't know any better. But see, the people of God need to know better. The people of God need to have an understanding that the world doesn't have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because He knows you need all these things. But what does it say here? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When was the last time you thought about how you were going to pay that bill? You know, that's in this. That's found in here. When was the last time you were wondering, were you going to be able to work? When was the last time you thought about that sickness and you didn't know how you were going to be healed? God taking care of your life. He said, isn't your life more than just these little things? So it's more than, like, if life is more than just dealing with a sickness that you're dealing with at the time. Life is more than dealing with some lack that you're dealing with at the time. Life is more than dealing with a trial or whatever that you're going through at the time. There's so much more to life than that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way he is, the way he lives, the way he exists, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, one thing I've noticed about birds is they don't return to empty feeders. You know what I'm saying? When there's no fruit to something, I'll go fill my feeder. I have a feeder. I'm not very good at feeding the birds because I just get distracted and on other things sometimes. But, you know, I'll fill my feeder. And just within a few minutes, a bird's there. But, you know, as soon as I stop, and once that's empty, and as soon as that stop, I stop filling that, the birds stop coming. They don't keep returning to the things from the past. Right? They don't keep coming back. I get raccoons, too. The raccoons like the feeders, too. But even the raccoons, the scumbags that they are, even the raccoons do not return to an empty feeder. Why? Because they know there's no fruit in it. So let me ask you something, Christian. When you get saved, when you get born again, when God has set you free, when he's given you all these great and precious promises, why do you return to the empty feeder? Why do you go back to the bondage? Why do you go back to the things in the world that always entangled you and ensnared you? Why do you go back to that way of thinking that always just kept you worried? Why do you go back to that? Why do you go back to that? God's saying that the feeder is over here now. This is where your feeder is, and this one doesn't empty. This one doesn't run dry. This one continually gets refilled. This one isn't at Pastor Jeff's house. Hallelujah. This one's in my kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because if you're depending on my feeder, you might go hungry, at least for a few days. But when you depend on God's, when you put your focus on him, all of a sudden you find something that is real, that's lasting, that doesn't run dry. Why do we return to empty feeders? Let's see, people, we got this thing in us that always wants to go back to those things, that way of thinking. No, that way of thinking is what removed from you before. You might have thought you had pleasure in it, but you don't know what pleasure is. See, because once you know what pleasure is, you know what? One thing I noticed, again, I'm going to use my son's example, because I just love watching it. It's great. It's a blessing. It's what we should do. Amen? But you know what? It's a lot easier for him right now to do what he should do. Why? Because he knows that there's blessing. Now he sees that there's blessing attached. So it's like, well, yeah, I'm just going to do it right then. I'll just do it right. Yeah, sure. I haven't had an argument for this kid in over a week. Not one thing. I mean, nothing. Like, you screwed up on this? And he's like, I'll take care of it, Dad. I'm sorry. You know, all of a sudden he's who is it? Who are you preaching about that one guy the other day? The Beaver. No, who's the good guy? The good kid. The one that. Wally, yeah. All of a sudden he's Wally. All of a sudden he's walking around like he's going to, yeah, I'm going to mow the lawn and I'm going to clean my room. And I'll do the dishes. Hallelujah. You want your truck cleaned? Sure, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I got you, Dad. You see what? Because once you know, I always say it to be funny, but the truth of the matter is, and it's not bad. It's not bad character. Kid's got the most wonderful character. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've said a bazillion times, as I go into the battle, he's the one I take with me. Hallelujah. He's got great character. But you know, when you can see it, it's easier to do right, isn't it? This is really a picture book of what our lives should look like. This book is intended to help us see what we weren't able to see before. This book was intended to help us get into things that we couldn't even imagine before. The Bible says that eye is not seen or ear heard or has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for him. But he has revealed them. He has revealed them. He's not waiting to reveal them. He has revealed to him. His promises are sure. His promises are the word. But if we always go back to the empty theater, we can't get the blessing of God. Because the blessing of God is not in the empty theater. It's not there. It's not in those things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Romans 6:21 says, I love this scripture. I remember the first day I came across this scripture. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What fruit did you have in that life? Way of thinking, that way of doing, that way of being. What fruit did you have there? The Bible's reminding us, listen, there is nothing in the empty feeder. It's just death. If a bird just relies on the empty feeder, it will starve, right? And the same thing in life. Listen, you may get saved and be able to go to heaven, but you can still not walk in the blessing of God because you just stayed at the empty feeder. Yeah. You know, the blessing of God, yes, salvation will take us into heaven, and when we get there, it'll be good and glorious and all that stuff, and then we'll realize all the places that we could, all the things we could have had here. I'm not talking about just stuff or houses and land, stuff like that, but that stuff is all included. I'm not going to exclude it either because God wants you blessed. Yeah. If you got a bad car, God wants you to have a nice car. One day I remember my pastor got his first nice vehicle because he had drove these really old junky cars. And I remember when he got his first nice vehicle. It was a Wednesday. He had to go pick it up. Praise the Lord. And he asked me if I would drive him down to pick up the truck from the dealership so he could drive it. When we were going to church. It was right before church on a Wednesday night. And as I dropped him off, you know, they had just cleaned it all up, you know, and they actually had just put leather because it didn't have leather, and the salesman put leather in it for him, so it made it really nice, you know. And so this truck is just shining, it looked beautiful, and I look at it, I'm like, glory to God, I was like, that is awesome, you know. I was just like, and I was thinking about it, as I was driving away, God spoke on the inside of my spirit, and he said, it's a good thing that my people drive nice vehicles. It's a good thing. Now, some people hate that I'd say that. There might be people in here that hate that I say that. I don't care, because you can keep driving your junker. God said to me that it's a good thing that my people drive nice vehicles. Listen, we are a reflection of our Heavenly Father. When people see us, they're going to see God. And if you continually drive around a beater, what do you think they're doing? They're looking at your God and they're saying, your God don't supply. Your God ain't going to help you. When they look at a church that's falling apart, this is why I hate churches that people don't take care of. I hate it. It just makes me mad. Why? Because I'm not just talking about my church. I don't care what church it is, because you know what? Everybody equates that cross on the door with our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter whether they're a good preaching church or a bad preaching church. I don't care. It doesn't matter who they are. But everybody drives by, they know it's a church, and they know it's connected to this Bible and God somehow. That's the way the world looks at it. But when they see a church that's falling apart, when they see a church that nobody's taking care of and the weeds are overgrown and things are falling apart, you know what they do? The first thing they do is they judge our God. And they say that those Christians are foolish for following a false God, because there's no change. There's no change in that God. But see, when they see Christians that are flourishing, they might not like it still, but God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Something's happening there that they can't explain. They may say that you've been drinking the Kool-Aid, but glory to God, that Kool-Aid's good. I'm telling you, this is the good stuff. Hallelujah. The good stuff we're serving up. And I'm not making light of bad situations, but I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about where people live and what people see and what people say. Amen. Your family will be changed by the change in your life. They will not be changed by you just coming to church and staying the same. In fact, they'll go to hell believing that it's all a joke and that you just got bamboozled. You see, God wants change, amen? God's intended change because he loves us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? There was nothing there for you, so why go back to it? There was nothing there. I don't care. Maybe it's a relationship. Are there relationships that remove from you, that aren't encouraging you to go into the blessing of God? Then leave them, because all they are is a detriment. They're an empty feeder. Yeah, they're an empty feeder. I did this. I was the king of bad relationships. I was able to find that one woman every time that was going to knock me down, that was going to hold me back, that was going to try to berate me, belittle me, make me feel worthless about myself. Every time I just found that one. I know how it was. There's lots of them out there. Praise the Lord. But there is. I'm just not women, but I wasn't looking for men. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Women, there's lots of men out there like that too. Hallelujah. It isn't a male-female thing. It's a human thing. There's lots of people out there that are going to do that. Amen? But I would keep finding that those same ones. And I would just, I just wanted a good relationship. I actually wanted to serve God. I didn't know what that really meant, but that's all I wanted. I just wanted a good relationship, serve God, have a happy family. That's what I wanted. But see, I kept going back to those empty feeders. Those empty feeders. Yeah, the feeder can look nice. You know what I'm saying? They get all kinds of fancy feeders. But if there's no substance, if there's nothing on the inside of it, what's it going to do for you? I don't care how nice it is if it's empty. Amen? But now I got the best of both worlds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a full feeder, and that feeder looks good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, amen. Amen. I like how that feeder feeds me. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm gonna dote on my wife in church, and I'm gonna talk about how much, because you know what? This world has enough of telling people about how bad marriage is and knocking marriage down. Marriage is a covenant of God, and if you don't see it as anything but that, you're a fool and you're deceived. Marriage is a covenant of God that shows us our covenant with Him. Amen. Glory to God. I know God wants me blessed because I look at my wife and she reminds me every single time I look at her. Every time I talk to my wife, every time I spend a few moments with my wife, I remember how much good God wants for me. So you can't tell me that God doesn't want a nice car, because if He give me her, glory to God, car is easy. Yo, I'm going to tell you right now, when I met her, I cleaned my apartment, I shampooed that carpet, I cleaned my apartment 3 times in one day. And I brought her over all proud. And she was so disgusted. She was still so disgusted. See, I just wasn't good without her. I had nothing to offer. When I met her, I was still married. I was still legally married, is what I'm saying. I wasn't divorced. I was in a place. I had been in a bad, horrible marriage, and I was still in that place. We hadn't been together in 2 years, but I was still at that place. I couldn't afford anything. Every time I had my boys over, I had to go take them to my mom's house because I couldn't even afford to eat and feed them. I had nothing to offer this woman. I was 28 years old. I was rough around the edges. Glory to God. Even rougher than I am now, if you can believe that. But I was rough around the edges, and God brought her to me. And she was an atheist. And God brought us together. And he worked amazing miracles to make it happen. It was a wonderful blessing of the Lord. God did this. He brought him. So I say to you again that if He can bring her and make her stick with me, glory to God, there ain't nothing that's impossible for my God. There ain't nothing that's impossible for Him. Getting the bill paid, oh, that's easy. Hallelujah. Because when you see where I was, I mean, there's some people that are reaching up to touch bottom. I wasn't even there. I wasn't even reaching up to touch bottom. I was so far from bottom. I was so far sunk below that I was never coming back. Do you understand? God wants change in our lives. Amen? And He'll bring the catalyst of change. Praise the Lord. Now, He ain't going to give you Renee, but He gave me Renee, and that helped change a lot. Hallelujah. But she got to drive, you know, she got to drive she drives it hard, praise the Lord. She's sweet. Oh, yeah. But don't you make her mad. I'm telling you right now, hallelujah. And glory to God. Because I think men should be manly men and women should be womenly women. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think God designed us both to be what we are, and it's great. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if there's anything that can settle a manly man down, it's a good womanly woman. Amen. Praise the Lord, because she can do it. Hallelujah. She's sweet. She's pretty. Oh, yeah. She looks great, but I'm telling you, when she wants something done, she'll get it done. Praise the Lord. You guys, you better all just be thankful that I'm leading this showboat right here. Because if she was in charge, you'd all be in trouble. Amen. Glory to God. You think I'm not? She gets in the pulpit, she preaches all nice, and you think, oh, well, praise the Lord, she's the nice one. But that ain't the case at all. I'm just kidding. She is a dime. That's just a joke. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't overboard. No, she's sweet and we love her. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We wouldn't be here without her, that's for sure. But God wants a change. Amen? So much so that sometimes he has to bring us people that'll help us. Amen? Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wanted to change in my life. But see, this is the thing. What God wants to change us. See, it may be a hard process getting there sometimes for us. But the point that I'm trying to make in all this ranting is that God, even though it may be a hard process to get us there, when we get there, it's so good. Because we're both blessed. Amen. We really, what we do, we run this ministry together. This is our lives. This is you know what we do, and we just love it so much. It's the blessing of the Lord, and He's on it. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:9. She is a nice lady. I promise you, she is. But don't give her no garbage because she won't take it. Yeah, that's right. Then that's what I'm saying. Amen. I'm scared a little bit right now. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Sweating up here. Whew. Praise God. Maybe Reverend Gurr is right. Maybe I should have built a bigger pulpit. Maybe something to hide behind. Glory to God. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. That's important for us. Take heed how you build on the foundation. Amen? For no other foundation can be anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Basically, whatever you do, your work is going to be clear. So to God, it's going to come out in the open. So however you're building, you can think that you're deceiving or you can think whatever, but it's not. It will become clear. What you do, how you live, it's going to become clear. There's going to be a day that determines it. Amen? For each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Hallelujah. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Now this is a really interesting thing, because what this is talking about is it's talking about those things that's how we live on earth. What we do on earth will stand before the Lord someday. And He's going to test it with fire. And some there's a lot of Christians whose work is going to stand before the Lord and it's going to go poof. It's going to go up in smoke. He says they will be saved, but their work is burnt. Everything they did, the way they lived their lives, it was worthless. It was worthless. It will be burnt and it'll never produce anything. It'll never be a blessing to anybody. God said there's a reward in heaven waiting for those who work what God has them to do. Who seek after it, seek to be right, seek to do what God has ordained them to do. And He wants to bless people as doing it. You know, one of the reasons I bring this up is because so many people, they think that doing the work of God is just being a Christian and saying it. You know, there's people that think that they can do anything and just serve God that way. Listen, God's called us all different things. He hasn't called everybody to stand in a pulpit ministry. That's for sure, we know that. But God has called us to do different things. But we can't just because we're a Christian, we're doing the work of the Lord. Because the work of the Lord, it's going to have an effect on people. Amen? Sometimes the work of the Lord is to, like some people, there's people who are gifted to earn lots of money, and God has intended them to be givers in the body of Christ, and they are, and praise the Lord, that's work. You know what I mean? But some people aren't called to do that at all. Some people are called to wait tables. Some people are called to do different, you know, to go out there and reach people just by speaking to them and different things. We know of people that are really gifted in areas that can walk up to anyone and strike up a conversation and have people receiving Jesus in 5 minutes. You know, we know that there's people out there like that. But see, the work is going to be tested. A lot of people, they just live their lives. A lot of Christians just live their lives. How do we know this? Because I remember seeing a brother in the faith. And I wasn't judging him, but I was judging the work, and the Bible says that we can do that. You know, we don't judge a person's heart. Like, and what that means is if if I say I believe this is what the Lord has for me, you're in no place to say that it's not. That's what God's talking about by judging. God's saying that if I get a direction of God to go start this ministry down here, and I'm doing it according to the word of God, you're in no place to say that it's not of God. That's judging. But there's another kind of judgment that we're allowed to do. The Bible says that we do judge the fruits of people. Amen? And that we should judge the fruit, because if you don't judge the fruit, you're going to eat stuff that's bad for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so there's Christians. I remember this Christian brother, and we're sitting there. We weren't sitting together, but I saw him out. We were at a restaurant. You know, it was a restaurant that also serves liquor. And him and his guys just got out of work or whatever, and they're sitting around drinking beers. It's a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. That is work that's going to be burnt. God isn't okay with that. You can find through Scripture. People try to manipulate Scripture all the time to justify why they can be Christian sippers, Christian drinkers. But all it ever is just them returning to the empty feeder. Because there's no fruit in that stuff. I'll tell you what comes in that. Look around you. Take an honest look around you and see what happens from alcohol. It's destruction. And it always is. God doesn't partner with that garbage. And if you're going to fool yourself and think it is, then you're going to be a fool, and that's just the way it is. But see, but what I'm saying is that those are works that are going to be burnt. Because what it's going to do, this brother may go to heaven, but what's he producing there? He's driving, you know, that people, Christians that compromise that stuff is the same things that drive people away from Christianity, because they see it as foolishness. It's the same thing. God never intended his people to be be alcoholics and going out there and doing what. Again, some people will sit there and justify, well, Jesus drank wine, all this stuff. They'll come up with all these, you know, but they have no idea what the Scripture even says. They want to twist Scripture so they can justify their sin. And people that do that will never be blessed. That's works that get burnt. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's returning, as the Bible says, also returning to vomit. I was being nice by saying bird feeders, but that's returning to vomit. It's going back to those things in the world that had no fruit in them. What fruit do you have by sitting in a bar drinking? What fruit do you have? You're sitting down and you're having beers with your friends. What fruit is in that? Real fruit. Amen? Because what happens? You start getting that buzz. You start saying stupid things. You start thinking stupid things. The Bible says to be sober-minded. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's free, no charge. This is where most Christians are. They think they're doing the work of the Lord simply by being a Christian. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're doing the work of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. God wants us blessed. He wants us moving in things, but we can't get there if we constantly go back to that worldly thinking. That's worldly thinking. The idea that freedom in Christ is somehow just a free-for-all, that you can just do whatever you want. That's worldly thinking. That's what the world tells you. But that's also why the world keeps having problems that it has. And that's also why problems have risen up so greatly in the church. Because what happens is the Christian church has stopped being people who are consecrated, dedicated to the work of the Lord. They stopped being people that were against sin. And they started accepting sin and saying that it's just okay if we have a little bit of this. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that the little foxes spoil the vine. So where you get a little bit of sin, a lot of sin's coming. Because the Bible also says that you give foothold to the devil and he's going to come roaring in like a lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. The ones he can devour are not just any Christians. See, this is where Christians, they don't put the word to practice. They don't understand what the word says. When it says seeking whom he may devour, it means those who have opened the door to allow him to come in and devour him. The devil cannot devour every Christian. He can only devour the ones that open the door to him. Amen. John 15:8 in the Amplified says, when you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. When you bear fruit, his Father, God, he's honored and glorified by us bearing fruit. That's why it's foolish when people try to knock down Christians for doing well in life. Christians that all of a sudden, when you see your brother or sister blessed, you should get on board and say, you know what, mine's coming too, but I'm excited for them right now because they're blessed. They got what I wanted, but that's okay. They're getting increased. That's good because God is glorified. And really, that's isn't what it's all about anyways. Well, don't we want to glorify our Heavenly Father who gave us so much so we can have so much? Yeah. So we might as well just walk in that. Now look at this. And you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Jesus said that. You show and prove yourselves to be true followers of Jesus when you produce fruit because you're glorifying God by the fruit production. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:4. We're about ready to close here. Praise God. Ephesians 2:4. Read through verse 7. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love this scripture. 2:4. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. I think about this often. He didn't just love us. He loved us with a great love. When God says he loves with a great, when God says something's great, it's pretty great. You know, it's one thing when we say it's great, but when God says it's great, it's really great. It's exceedingly great. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, so this is why he did what he's about to say, Amen? Because he loved us with such a great love, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Right? That's pretty good. Gave us eternal life. That's pretty awesome, right? It'd be great if that's all he did, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would have been great if that's all he did, but we still got more to read here. And raised us up together. And made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit. He made. Made is past tense. He's not waiting to make you sit in heavenly places. You are seated in heavenly places right now because you're a child of the Most High God. He did it because of his great love, not because of what you did, not because you earned it. Praise the Lord. This is what he did. Praise the Lord. That in the ages to come, look at this. This is the reason he did all this. Oh, if you thought it was good so far, you just hold on a second. Hallelujah. Look at this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Jesus died. That from that point on, in the ages to come, everything after that point, that he was going to show in us his exceeding riches. This is what God, this is why he wants you to change. Because he wants you to go from that place where there was nothing to a place where he's showing his exceeding riches in you. Now that word riches, it means a whole lot of things, but it does not exclude financial wealth. Praise the Lord. Because God, if God had it his way, every person, every one of his people would be blessed, so blessed financially, they would never even consider where they were going to pay for anything. That's the truth. People like that, I don't care. It's the truth. It's the word of God. It's over and over and over again. The Bible tells us that for our sakes, he became poor, that us through his poverty might be made rich. That in context, he was specifically talking about finances. Specifically, that's what he was talking. That's where he used that scripture. He was not talking about spiritual anything. And I said this last night, and I'll say it again. There is no such thing as spiritually poor. It's spiritually alive or spiritually dead. There is no in between. God is not a fence-riding God. He is not spiritually alive, spiritually dead. There's no such thing as spiritually poor. It doesn't exist. See, poor means you could still have something. Deficit, if you were a spirit, if you have a deficit, you don't have anything. Poor means you could still have something. Amen? But see, a lot of people, they want to get religious about stuff. And they say, well, because we always taught this. Not because it's what the Bible says. Amen? And those are just a few scriptures. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Praise the Lord. The Bible used that, not me. Jesus used those words, not me. Praise the Lord. I'm just repeating them, but people hate me because I say them. Yeah. God is trying to show. He wants to show his exceeding. Let's read that again. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. His grace is not just that he saved us. You know, he saved us by grace, but it doesn't just mean that he gave us a pass. His grace, literally, the Bible talks about this. God's grace is literally his ability working in us. It's his ability. Like Pastor Webb said, he took something, he took what we didn't have and put it on the inside of us. That's what grace is. We didn't have the ability to obtain those things. His grace was that he put that in us. Amen? So that grace that's been placed on the inside of us, God wants to show us and the world what that is all about. He wants us to bear fruit. But we can't bear fruit as long as we focus on the other things, the dead works. Praise the Lord. I want to read that to you one more time. I'm going to go back to Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Go on to perfection. Let us go now. Not when you die, not the sweet by and by, not when Jesus comes back, the sounding of the trumpets and the angels and all that glory. He said, let us go now onto perfection, not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works. Stop returning to dead works. Stop going back to Egypt. Stop going back to the empty theater. Get into what God has for you. Press on into those things and just refuse to not go. Just refuse it. Just say, I am not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go back there anymore. I'm not going to think about that. And brothers and sisters, in the faith, you need to uphold one another. You need to uphold each other. When you see a brother or sister that is starting to slip a little bit or is having a hard time, don't get there and ready to pounce on them, but look at them and say, listen, let's not go back to that feeder. Come with me because we're going on into the good stuff. Come with me. Stick with me. Just stick it out. Lift up one another. It shouldn't just be the pastor doing it. We should be building up one another. That's what the coming together is for, is to take us into that. Praise the Lord. That does not mean, I'm going to end with this, that does not mean to receive a brother or sister who just refuses to live right. Because that's a whole other side of it, and that's not God's grace either. Jesus never said to put up with somebody. In fact, the Bible says that when somebody refuses to do right over and over and over again, you turn them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. It doesn't mean that you sit there and patty cake them all along saying, oh, no. You get on board, you know, but we encourage one another. Lift one another up. Let's encourage each other to go into those things that God has for us. And watch and see what happens in this church. When you do this, watch and see what happens in your lives. And watch what happens with the people around you. People are going to look at you differently. Amen?